Our society wants to sort of wash their hands of Easter now and get on with Anzac Day and Mother's Day and next thing along the line, but I want us to stay with the resurrection and it's so many passages that we could look at. What was struck me the other day as I was thinking about it was, you know, when the Word came to earth, the incarnation, it was very counter-expectation, wasn't it? It wasn't what people were expecting. It was gentle, quiet, humble, the resurrection sightings were also counter expectation. These ones that saw him were not those who were going through some heightened religious ecstasy. They weren't ones who were in some sort of buoyant, ecstatic emotion. If you actually look at the way the disciples are described in all the different Gospels, we find words like they were afraid, they were astonished, they were trembling, there was panic. All of these sorts of words, confused. They were seized with fear in one of the passages. One passage says they were terrified. Another passage says they were perplexed. I think sometimes people get this idea that it was kind of wishful thinking that brought about some kind of vision that they saw. But these men and these women were far from being in that kind of situation. Let's just start with this passage in Luke chapter 24. All the places that Jesus could have met with the disciples, all the places that maybe we might expect some great, big, amazing, spiritual kind of experience to take place, here in Luke 24, the first place is in a cemetery. In a cemetery. Verses 1 to 9. The women go to the tomb very early in the morning, first day of the week, carrying the spices that they prepared. They didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were at a loss to make what to make of it all. So think about a cemetery. Think about the places that the risen Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, comes and makes his presence real to you. In a cemetery. A cemetery for many, many people is a place they avoid. I don't even like driving past it. The memories, it's a place of broken hearts, a place of, you know, vanished dreams. It seems helpful to me to think about that it was in a place like that, a place of bitterness, where the aliveness of the Lord Jesus Christ was experienced, where his living was real and became real for these people. Out of the shadows. You know, it's noted in all of the ones, isn't it, that it was in the early morning, even before dark. And we think of the sun rising, we think of the beginning of the dawn, and to think of a cemetery in a place of shadows, if you like, the brilliant light of the sun, him, the son of the Father, rises. And said this at we were reflecting on at Jane Smitherum's mum's funeral the other day, that because of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything in life is changed because of that. Every death is now a doorway, and every end is just the beginning. Like those C.S. Lewis books always used to end, wasn't it? This is the end, but it's not the end. It's really just the beginning. It's just really chapter one of the real story. Trying to get across to children and adults what really happened and what can happen because of that. These ones are in a cemetery. Not a temple, not a holy place, but a place on a human level that people would not expect to find hope and life and joy. If we turn over the page in Luke 24 to the passage that was read as well, we find that one of the other places that Jesus makes his presence experienced, and he meets people is on the road, on this road to Emmaus, in those verses 13 onwards that Christine led. That very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, a real place, a real track, a real road in history, in geography, in real time. These people are on the journey. And let's apply that to ourselves. We're all on a journey. These commuters, if we can call them that, they lived in Emmaus and would go in to do their business in Jerusalem. As Christine read it to us, we become aware that these commuters are not only sad, they are the picture of gloom. They were disillusioned. Hope had evaporated. Now, if we were to ask the question honestly of ourselves, are we conscious of the living Christ on our journey? The acceptable answer would be to say yes. Oh, while we sing these songs, while we, are with one another, while things are going well, we might say, yeah, we are conscious of the living Christ with us on the journey. But journeys being journeys, there's all twists and turns to the track, isn't there? There's the day and the night, the summer and the winter, the autumn, the spring. Those journeys go down into valleys, up on dangerous, rocky places, all over the place. These commuters on this road were going through a time where they were disillusioned and they were sad and hope had evaporated. And it was in that place that Jesus comes and walks with him. So wonderful, isn't it, that Jesus doesn't wait till we get to church. Jesus doesn't wait till we get to some sort of point of stability in our experience of walking with him. Jesus doesn't wait until we get a hold of ourselves. Jesus doesn't wait until we get rid of those doubts and fears and anxieties and questions. He comes to us when we need him. On the road, they didn't recognize him, as we don't in those places. We can so often, as they were, be distracted. We can so often be so focused on ourselves and what's going on in our life. We can so often be blinded by our sadness. We can just be tired. Tired. We can be disappointed with others on the road, and we're looking at them. He asks them what they're talking about. My version says, they stood still, a picture of gloom. One of them said, you must be the only person around Jerusalem who doesn't know what's been going on here these last few days. And then in verse 21, this is where their disappointment comes out. We were hoping. If they'd really known it was Jesus, I wonder if they would have been as honest. It's funny, isn't it, in our lives? The one person we can really be honest with is God. He knows anyway. Sometimes he's the last person we think we can be honest with, and sometimes we can be honest with someone else. I guess for some of us, it's the other way. We wouldn't dare tell some people things. Remember, I won't tell you that story. Verse 21, we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. I was hoping that God was going to open up this door and I would get the job. I was hoping that I'd be married by now. I'd be hoping that we'd be able to have children. I'd be hoping that this cancer wouldn't be as serious as what the doctor told me that it actually is. We were praying. We were hoping. We were hoping that the police would never come to our front door. We were hoping when we sent our children to Sunday school that everything would turn out right, that they'd go on and become such strong Christians. We were hoping that we would be better Christians than we are. We were hoping that this church would not be like the other church that we were in. We were hoping. On the road, in that kind of a situation, here it is where Jesus meets them. And the road to nowhere, on the journey of life, the road to nowhere becomes the road that leads them into the very heart of God and leads us into the very heart of God. It's in those places. The places we don't want to be in often. The places we wished we weren't in, but we are. In those places, Jesus meets us through the Holy Spirit. And that road becomes the road home into the heart of God in a much, much deeper way. Still in Luke 24, another place that Jesus meets them, not in a temple, not in a holy place, but just around the kitchen table. Some of us young people, including myself, some of us young ones might not know what the kitchen table kind of signifies. The kitchen table, in the kitchen, when kitchens were big enough to have a table in them. But that was the warmest place in the whole house because of the open fire. We'd sit around and open up the oven door and take our socks off and put our feet up there and play cards or whatever. The kitchen table. An ordinary home. This is where Jesus comes to make his presence real. Let's not worry about whether we have kitchen tables or not. Where we share life, in the ordinary home, the places where we celebrate and laugh, the places where we cry, the places where we pour out things, if the walls had ears of the things that we talk about in the ordinary home, around the kitchen table, verse 30, as he was sitting at table with them, it says in verse 31, the eyes of both of them were opened. I don't know if you've read the book by Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God, or The Practice of the Presence of God, I think, whichever. And he discovered God's presence amidst the chaos of the kitchen. In the midst of all the pots and pans, in the midst of all the ordinariness of life, that's where he discovered the presence of God. Whereas Martha doesn't see. Remember the story of Martha and Mary? Martha doesn't see who's in her home. Oh, she sees, but she doesn't see. And the kitchen for her became a place of distraction, a place of stress that blinded her from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ right there. Remember that promise in Matthew 18, verse 20, where it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I heard someone suggest once that the two or three could be the mum and the dad and the child. The two or three could be the three friends sitting around a coffee shop or at a table in a coffee shop. The two or three could just be the two neighbours and the praying friend who comes and sits in the lounge room on a Thursday afternoon. The two or three. Could be any two or three. But meeting in his name. In other words, meeting with faith in him. There he is in the midst of them. So around the kitchen table. Now we jump over to John 21 so Dennis doesn't feel left out. And I'll try and be as dramatic as I can be, Dennis. It's interesting, isn't it? The facts here are as dramatic as they could ever be, just because of their facts. But this other place where Jesus meets the disciples is in the fishing boat, in the workplace, if you like, the marketplace of our lives. Again, not the temple, not a synagogue, not some holy shrine on the side of a hill, not some beautiful, peaceful little bubbling brook with all the autumn leaves around it, but a fishing boat, dirty, stinking, sweating, smelly, said that, didn't I? Bloody, scaly, salty, fishing boat, a place, you know, of work. Jesus showed himself, verse 1 says, again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. And then down in verse 3, it says they go off into the boat, fishing at night, and they caught nothing. And as dawn was breaking, verse 4 says, Jesus comes and stands beside the seashore. The disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And he calls out to them. The word that's translated in the NIV is friends. The real word is children. So this fishing boat, we could think about it as the workstation, the factory, the building site, the uni campus, wherever it might be. These are the places where Jesus wants to meet us. These are the places where Jesus already is. You remember, it's in Colossians 3, isn't it, where Paul is talking to them in different ways that they can live out their Christian reality. And one of the things is, you know, and when you're working, you know, work with all your heart. Work as if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And then a couple of verses further on, he says, because you really are. You really are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Those around us, the nursing home, those that we're residents with in the flats, those that we are serving the meal to, or you know, changing their bed, or whoever it might be. Work becomes worship when we see that we're serving Christ. Not independent of this person. Not sort of like, oh, we're serving Christ, so I'll put up with this because of... We're serving Christ. Whatever you do to the least of one of these, you do it unto me. Unto. I'm using some of Nev's King James language there. But it's true, isn't it? We get so caught up sometimes, I think, on our theological stuff of, you know, who are Christians and who aren't. So we sort of have this kind of idea that sometimes we treat Christians differently to the way we treat non-Christians. God says, when you do this to the least, who are the least in our society? Or who are the least in our own eyes, perhaps? That's there. So here in the fishing boat, here they are, caught up in all of that. Frustrated, they haven't caught anything, but they're all just getting on with it. And there's Jesus standing right there. Didn't seem to start with, but then when they finally do, and this beautiful, beautiful picture in those verses 9 onwards where they come up, he's already got a little charcoal fire going. He's already caught some fish himself. He's got some bread. He's provided it all. And here they are. They sit down with the in their bloodiness and their scaliness and their saltiness. And their dirtiness and hairiness and all that sort of stuff, they just sit down around just a little charcoal fire, and there it's a moment of worship. There it's a moment of Incredible, incredible recognition and there his love pours out to them. And there they're changed. There their eyes are opened. There they're touched. There they're lifted. We could only see the everydayness of Christ. And the last one, and I've, well, really gone too long, is I want you to just jump back to chapter 20 of John. And just in those verses 19 to 23, you remember the back hiding. I know we've gone back chronologically a little bit, but they're back hiding in the upper room, locked the door. Just this last place I want you to think about, Jesus comes to us when we're in our hiding places. We've all got them. Our hiding places. Adam and Eve, when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, went and hid themselves. They were afraid. They were afraid that if God saw them, he wouldn't love them anymore. You and I are afraid sometimes. Sometimes we're afraid that if people really saw who we were, or we're afraid of this big question in the back of our mind, if people really do know who I am, do they really love me? Would they really love me? Am I really special? Am I, I'm not special in that self-centered, you know, I'm a little princess kind of a way. I mean precious. All of us have a need to know that we're precious. And in fact, God has called us together as his people. In one of the ways is to help us to help each other discover that and know that and accept that. And out there in the world too. So sometimes because of fear, we go into our little hiding places. That's certainly what these disciples did in that sense. Just hit me recently. I don't know if it was a God thought, but it helped me when I realized that God is saying to me, don't hide from me, hide in me. Don't hide from me. He understands we're afraid. He understands we need to hide. How many times does the psalmist say, you are our hiding place? You are our rock. You are the shadow of the Almighty, drawing in close to him. He understands we're afraid. This is a scary world. Don't hide from me. Hide in me. Jacob went to sleep with his head on a rock. In the night, God opened up his mind to what was on around him, and he saw in his dream this ladder going up to heaven, and there were angels going up the ladder and coming down. And when he woke up, he made this incredible discovery. That all disappeared. That was just the day again, the sun, the dirt. His head must have hurt. He must have had a stiff neck from lying on a rock. But he realized, God is in this place. And I didn't know it. God is in this place. That place where we were not expecting him. That place that we don't like being in, perhaps. That uncomfortable place, head on a rock. God is in this place and I didn't know it. This is the very doorway to heaven. And a great quote I read somewhere, just leave you with. It says, God comes to us disguised as our life. God comes to us, disguised as our life. Let's pray. Loving Father, help us to believe that you are all that you say you are. Help us to believe that you mean all that you say to us. Help us to believe. Help us to be open to your love, that that love may change us. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.